So this year's theme is searching. If you'll turn in your Bibles, there's a couple texts that the camp committee kind of chose to work out the idea to help our young people explore questions they have about God. The first scripture verse comes from James chapter 1, verse 5. It's not the main scripture verse that we're going to focus in on today, but it is a scripture verse that's going to be referenced a lot this summer. The main scripture verse that we're going to focus on is back in Jeremiah. So if you'll also find Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to kind of spend some time in that text as well today. But James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. One of the things I like about that text is that we can go to our Heavenly Father and we can ask for wisdom in our daily lives. We can ask for wisdom with our family. We can ask for wisdom with our finances, with school, or whatever we're going through. We're given instructions here that we can ask God for wisdom. We can ask God questions. If you read through the book of Psalms, you'll see that David constantly is asking God questions. And what I like about this is that it says here that we can ask without finding fault. Have you ever been in a situation where you've asked a question and they look at you like, why did you ask that question? You know, I always got that look from my teachers in school, you know, when you ask that question and everybody kind of looks at you wondering, why did you ask that question, right? And so we don't have to have that fear with our Heavenly Father. We can go to our Heavenly Father and we can ask Him questions without feeling like it's a stupid question, without finding fault. The second text is this in Jeremiah chapter 29. And the main text is in verse 13. And this is from the New International Version. I know you read here out of the Contemporary English Version. But this says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. When you seek me with all of your heart. Now, the question this summer, this idea of searching, is not just some philosophical idea that you know, we're trying to get behind, but we're actually wanting to help our young people get their questions answered. And we want to answer their questions so that they can start to grow in their relationship with Christ. We want to help them practice their faith daily through spiritual disciplines. Ultimately, we want to help them answer that question of who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And what does Jesus want from me? And what does Jesus want from me? We want to help them within that endeavor. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we dive into the passage in Jeremiah chapter 9, 29, Father, we pray that that your will be known and that the word will be spoken to our hearts. And Lord, we can take some time this morning just to evaluate where we're at. Lord, help us as we study your word this morning to hear it with our hearts. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Maybe you heard about the two little boys. There was a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they were always getting into trouble. Ever have any of those boys, you know, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, and they were always getting into trouble. If anything around town happened, it was the 7-year-old and it was the 9-year-old, right? If anything in church was missing, they knew it was probably the 7-year-old and the 9-year-old. It was always them. And so the parents were like at their wits' end. They didn't know what to do. And so they went to church and they talked to their preacher and they said, "Preacher, will you put the fear of God into these boys?" And so the preacher, you know, said, "Sure, bring them on by." And so the parents brought the two boys to the preacher, and the preacher asked if he could just visit with them one at a time. And so the preacher sat at his desk, and he invited the 7-year-old in first. And if you got a 7-year-old, you kind of imagine what this scene would even look like. And so the 7-year-old sits across from the preacher's desk, and the preacher says, "Young man, I've got a question for you." And the boy just sits there. And so the preacher says, "Here's the question. Where is God?" And the little boy's eyes got real big, and he didn't say a word. And so the preacher says once again to the 7-year-old boy, he says, "Young man, I want you to tell me, where is God?" Nothing. Silence. So to put a big emphasis on this question, the preacher raises his voice even louder. And he says, "Young man, where is God?" And at that, the young man got up, he ran out of the office, he grabbed his brother by the arm, and he said, "Brother, we have to go. God is missing, and they think we took him." Oh, I'm glad you laughed at that. Now, that story may seem just a bit silly, but the fact is, God is missing from people's lives. God is missing from people's lives, isn't he? I mean, you look around the world and you can see that God is missing. And so our hope this summer is to help young people with this idea of getting them connected to God and helping them as they're searching out who God is and who Jesus is and what does God want from me in my life. Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You see, in this verse, it's just saying that we must seek God with all of our hearts, with all of our heart. We can't just casually try to seek God a little here and a little there and just expect to find him. We must dive in and seek him with everything we have in order to really find him. There's a reason why Jeremiah is telling the Israelites that they are to seek God with all of their heart, because oftentimes when you read stories of the Israelites, their hearts were divided. And so we want to help our young people to not have a divided heart, but to give God their whole heart. Now, giving God our whole heart doesn't happen if we open up the Bible just, you know, once a week. Or this doesn't happen if we only attend church every now and then. And this doesn't happen if we're so busy with extracurricular activities that we're not giving God our whole heart. This happens when we lay aside other things in our life and we focus on our Heavenly Father. Now, it's not that God is holding back on us, and we know that God is always present and always available for us, but what God wants is our whole heart. And that's the aspect of the scripture verse that I want to focus on this morning. The context behind Jeremiah is that you have the children of Israel being in captivity in Babylonian by King Nebuchadnezzar. And so they are being disciplined. And they're there for 70 years. And if you look in Jeremiah chapter 29, let's start in verse 10. Here's the background before we get to verse 13. This is what the Lord says, and he's saying this to those that are in captivity, those that have had a divided heart. "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place." And we have this famous verse. This verse is used a lot. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all of the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." So you have this idea of these Israelites being in captivity. And if you have read through the Bible about these Israelites, there were always times where they felt like they were connected to God. And then there were times where they felt distant, and it was times where they felt distant that they had a divided heart. It was in those times that they built false gods, right? They wanted leadership. They wanted someone to be present in their life, and they didn't feel God's presence. So they created false gods, and their heart was divided. We should read this passage not as it only pertains to them, but to us as well. It's a wonderful promise that God has given us as well, that when we search for God, when we seek Him with all of our heart, we will find Him. So what happens if we don't seek God with all of our heart? And you've got to remember that our God is a jealous God. He wants all of our heart, doesn't He? It says in Exodus 20 that there are no other gods before Him, and that our God is a jealous God. He wants all of our attention. He wants all of us. And so there's three things I want to share with you this morning that happens if we have a divided heart and we don't give God all of our heart. And these are the things that we hope to accomplish with our young people this summer at camp as well. First of all, with a divided heart, without God in our life, there's just no ultimate purpose or meaning in life. I love what the writer of Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes 1:14. He says, "Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless," said the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon expressed this conviction around 35 times. And I kind of look at Solomon like as a grandpa figure, right? Just think about this text for a moment and think about a wise grandpa type figure wanting to give us advice. He says this, "I've seen all things that are under the sun. All of them are meaningless, just chasing after the wind." Have you ever thought about this even in your own life? How oftentimes we're chasing after the wind, and you kind of evaluate your life and you're like, why are we accumulating so much, right? Why are we gathering so much? We gather so much, we have to have storage units, right? To put all of our stuff in that we're gathering. How many of you are maybe recovering hoarders? You know, we're getting ready to move Jennifer's mom and dad over here to Attica. They bought a couple acres, and they live down in southern Indiana. They've been down there all of their lives, lived in this house for 35 years, and now it's time to declutter and move them up here. And so it's the process of trying to figure out what to do with all this stuff, right? All this stuff. Have you ever thought about just, you know, that all of this stuff is just meaningless? It's just meaningless, right? Just meaningless. In verses 1 through 6, we see that nothing in this life apart from God can satisfy us, because God has not built life for anything apart from Him to satisfy. He wants us to have a relationship with Him, and that's the thing that's going to satisfy our lives. The primary promise of God in the Bible is that God will be with us, that God will be with us. Have you ever thought about the Bible being these incredible walks with God? You see that in the first part of Genesis where God walked with Adam and Eve, and He walked with Elijah and Moses and Aaron and all these great prophets. God walked beside them. In the New Testament, you have Jesus walking with the disciples, and Mary and Martha, even sinners Jesus is walking with. You have all these incredible walks with God and Jesus, and all of these walk with us, and we literally have the opportunity to walk with us. And so we want to help our young people to learn to walk with God. We want to teach them how to walk with God daily in their lives, how to help them remove the distractions from their life and help them to walk with God. Our young people are searching, and they want to know who Jesus is, but they not only want to know who Jesus is, but how does Jesus impact my life on a daily basis? Second of all, the thing that we want to help them with is that when we have a divided heart, our priorities are misplaced. Have you noticed that? That when we have a divided heart, our priorities are misplaced. That happened to the children of Israel as well. That when their heart was divided, their priorities were no longer with God. It was building altars right? It was trying to find something physical that they could attach to. And their priorities were misplaced. When we put God first, all other things fall into proper place and drop out of our lives. Our love for the Lord will govern the claims of our attention, the demands of our time, the interests we pursue, and the order of our priorities. What happens when we begin to see God as our first and only choice? Where do other choices stem from, right? How do we lay down our life and take up the cross daily and follow Jesus? One of the beautiful things that happens at camp is that we are removed from distractions. One of the beautiful things at camp happens is that when we give our young people time to think and to slow down. And I love this scene that we have at camp where we teach kids how to be still and be quiet, and we have solitude time, and they're scattered throughout the field there at the camp, that rec field in the middle, and you have hundreds of kids that are just littered all over the field, and they have their Bible, and they're quiet. No more world around them, no more distractions, no more negative influences, none of that noise going on in their lives. The only noise they hear are the birds chirping. And hopefully they begin to hear the voice of God. And they take time to evaluate and reprioritize their life. I've seen it happen. I've been there for 16 years now, and I've seen it happen every summer where young people come to camp and their hearts are divided and they have so much stuff going on in their life. And I've seen them just be still for a moment. And then I've seen kids accept Christ and give their lives to Christ. I've seen kids that have had a relationship with Christ rededicate and say, no, I want to reprioritize my life. I've seen kids like Jesse that made a commitment at camp and decide, I'm no longer going to do this, but I want to be in ministry full time, or I want to be in missions full time. We've had some awesome things happen at camp. We had a 16-year-old girl decided to start her own mission organization because at camp, she got time alone with God, and the world around her began to just sit still. And she took time to reprioritize her life. I can remember a funny incident where my son Caleb went to high school camp, and Dave Sims and Jason Sell decided to stretch the kids into having some solitude time. And he took tents out to Mission Village, and you had 8 hours. Kids could sign up for 8 hours of solitude time out in Mission Village. And he gave him a tent, gave him a Bible, gave him some directives, and this is what you do. And I remember Caleb coming back from camp that week, and he's like, Dad, I've got to sell my Xbox. And I'm like, what? And he was like, yeah, I figured I'm playing Xbox a little too much, and I just need to give that up. And I'm like, well, Caleb, we can talk about this. I didn't want him to sell his Xbox, but I like playing his Xbox, you know. So I'm like, we just gotta discipline ourselves, right? We just gotta discipline ourselves. And so that type of stuff, Patrick can testify to this, Jesse can testify to this. When you get kids to the camp and they just take time to be still, I mean, even adults need this in their life, right? You need time away from the crazy world in which we live in, just to slow down and to hear God's voice, let the Holy Spirit convict, and then reprioritize our life in Him. If we don't seek Him with everything within us, if our life doesn't reflect His, then we'll be settling for far less than what God has for us. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Think about this for a moment. When Jesus gave his life for us on that cross, and here just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We looked on that Friday, at Good Friday, when Jesus went to the cross. Think about this for a second. When God prioritized our salvation, think about this. When God prioritized our salvation over his only begotten son, when Jesus became the sacrificial lamb for us. When God prioritized our salvation over his own son, he did not do that for us just to make him a side thought. He did that for us so that we would be his, all of our heart. You will love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Very clearly, God is teaching us that he wants our whole heart. I love what Tom had to say during the communion meditation this morning, because that's where my last point is this morning, that without God in our lives and with a divided heart, ultimately there's just no hope. And I love the text that Tom used about the living hope and how we have a perishable hope in Christ that never fades if we give our heart to Christ and we give him our whole heart and we give him our whole self. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Everything, absolute everything, was created by God for a purpose, for God and for us. Until we understand that, life just doesn't make sense. And I don't know about you, but I know that I wonder sometimes, with all of the crazy things that happen in life, don't you wonder how people that are not Christians, how they make it with all of the crazy things that happen in life? We have hope in Christ because we have a relationship with Christ. So when there's disaster, when there's sickness, when there's disease, you know, when there's job lost or family troubles, we have hope in Christ because we have a relationship with him. How do those without Christ get through those times, right? When there is no hope with Christ. God the Father is God of all hope. He is hope's true source, the giver of all true hope, the very hope of hope. And hope is eternally elusive without God. Without God, there's just no hope. And so we want to pour into our young people this summer at camp. We want to give them hope. We want them to know that, yeah, life's not always going to be easy. There's going to be storms and there's going to be health issues and there's going to be family issues and financial issues and job issues. It's just part of life. But you don't have to go through life alone. We can go through life with hope that we have in our Heavenly Father. In the beginning of this sermon, I told you about the younger brother saying to his older brother, "We are in big trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we did it." The question is, are you searching? So maybe there are some here this morning that have never placed their heart in Christ. They've never received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so they're at that situation in their life where they're searching, where they need to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They need the hope that God has for them. They need Jesus in their life so their priorities will be aligned with his priorities, right? So there may be some this morning that have never received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I know that Jesse and the elders would love to sit down and share with you the hope that we have in Jesus. Or maybe, just maybe, there are some of us adults that have gotten caught up in the busyness of this world, right? And we have a divided heart. And we've not been given Jesus our whole heart. And so maybe this morning you've had time just to evaluate your own heart and realign this morning your heart with Jesus. Maybe there's some things that you can do differently to help you realign your priorities with God. Maybe it's daily disciplines of getting in God's word and following the scriptures that Jesse gives you and read through the book of Mark and understand that, attend church and be a part of teaching opportunities to help you in your life realign God and realign your priorities with God. Maybe there's things that you can do. Maybe families, you can talk today about what Solomon said. Meaningless, meaningless. It's all meaningless. Get together as a family and say, what do you think we're doing that is meaningless, you know? And what is it that we need to purge from our life? So we're excited about this summer. We're excited about where this theme is going to take our young people and the change that's going to be made because of this theme and the teaching that they're going to receive this summer at camp. And we hope that you get your kids signed up and you give them an opportunity, not just to ride the zip line, not just to play some paintball, but an opportunity to be still and to hear God's voice and to let the Holy Spirit convict so that they will begin to put Jesus Christ first place in their life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for just this opportunity that we have this morning. We prioritized our time to be with you, Father, to meet around your table, to bring our families to church, to show that you are first and foremost in our lives. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would convict today, that if there's somebody here today that's never received you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would begin to prioritize you in their life. And Father, thank you for giving us time today just to be still and to hear your voice. And Father, just to maybe have our hearts convicted that we need to realign our life with you. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.